Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome, everyone, to The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Visa, a network working for everyone. It is myself, Jake Seeley, and Brandon Funston. Not working for Jake Seeley is Nando DeFino, who put today's rundown together that I only found out about 5 minutes ago, Brandon Funston, because he sent it to the wrong email last night. So 10 minutes ago, I'm like, hey, I thought you were doing Nando. There you go. Thanks, Nando. And he's like, oh, Jakey, as he always does, he sent it to the... So I am reading this rundown just as everybody else is going to be reading it, this, like listening to it at the same time. So Funston, you are more prepared than I am for what we're talking about today.
You'll be not shocked to know that I opened it for the first time 5 minutes ago. So we are right in line. But that's just me being a team player. I didn't want to, you know, have an advantage over you by knowing the script ahead of time right. And more than you.
That's what it was, team player. All right. So we are talking week four rankings. Thanks, DVR, in the background with the great teamwork. If you want to drop any questions in the comments, we'll kind of like take little breaks to try to get to some of those to help you out. But all right, let's see. Oh, he did old Roman numeral, if I could even say that. Roman numeral with the... Nando, I love Nando. All right. I don't even know how to read these because I can't do a Nando voice, which would be great. Like Adam Ronis can do a Nando voice and then I can read him in his voice and be like, hey, Jiggy. But that's all I can do is make my voice deeper.
That's right.
So, yeah. Are the Raiders the most interesting team in the rankings this week? Every position has a little bit of crazy to it. All right. So valid question, but let's talk about it. So Derek Carr is on fire and I still had Jake C. Pussy. I can't read it. Derek Carr is on fire and Jake still has him at 16. Like I can't even.
He's going to do a search and replace for Jake and put I in there.
Yes. So here's his question and I'll let you go first, Funston. Is Derek, he says, can we put Derek Carr at 8 and just call it a day?
He could be as high as 8. I don't know if I see myself ever ranking him a whole lot higher than that on any given week because he doesn't run a whole lot. So you're kind of counting on the 380 yards all the time. I am at 12 this week, so I was kind of surprised.
I'm at 14. What is he talking about?
Yeah, I mean, good question.
I do not know. All right, so 12 and 14.
I think more interesting part is Derek Carr is what he is. He's just a better version of what he's always been. But the interesting part is the wide receivers because it's like we have to start figuring out how we want to rank these three. So yeah, go ahead and transition to them if you would like.
Well, so the Derek Carr situation is, I just keep saying this, he's just new Philip Rivers. Is sure he can finish 8 given week, but it's kind of that fringe QB1 who doesn't run. And like talk about who's in front of him. You're starting Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers, even going against Pittsburgh, who Joe Burrow was just remarkably efficient against that Pittsburgh defense to not fear it. Are you starting Russell Wilson or Derek Carr? Dak Prescott or Derek Carr? Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts? Like, where are you putting Derek Carr over any of those guys?
Yeah, I could maybe make the argument for Russell Wilson. I'm down on Russell, but I actually haven't won ahead of Derek Carr right now, but a little bit worried about him. But I get your point completely. So
Real quick, go ahead.
Because
that's interesting. So Pat had Russell Wilson pretty low too when I did Pat Mayo's ranking show, and I asked him this question. Are you down on Russell Wilson because of the narrative and the fact that he doesn't show up in San Francisco a lot against that defense, but also in San Francisco a lot? Or is it what you've seen the first 3 weeks?
Well, why can't it be both? Because it is a little bit of both. I mean, look at the narrative about him not showing up in San Francisco. It's literally 9-for-9 in him not showing up. I mean, it's one game above 200.
I thought he had one good game.
Like, he had one good game where he had 25 rushing yards and he added a rushing TD. But even his rushing numbers have been down there. He's never had more than a 2 passing touchdown game there. He's had one game over 237 yards, and that was 258 or 251 or something like that. So he has never gone off there. And it's also, it's just a very Jekyll and Hyde offense, and they've been really bad in the second halves, and they aren't spreading the ball. They're not getting a whole lot of love outside of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf as well. It's a very narrow tree there. So, I would like to see them expand like we thought they would with this Shane Waldron offense.
Yeah, I asked Mike Tomlin 2-3 years ago. It was the year before COVID, so 3 years ago, about the whole Ben Roethlisberger's road splits, how egregious they were.
Yeah.
And he kind of stopped. It was funny. It stopped that season after that. It wasn't completely stopped, but it had stopped being so egregious. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's the sense behind this? And I said, are you calling different plays because you're on the road? Is it something where, you know, the crowd noise? Because, of course, again, this was before COVID and all that type of stuff. And, you know, he kind of coach speaked me a little bit, but this wasn't like an interview. This was just off on the side. It was the same time I asked him if like James Conner was his guy. And he's like, yeah, I've always, you know, I'm going to go with my guy. He kind of alluded to I'm going with my guy without saying I'm going with a bell cow guy. And he was that year for James Conner. So he's telling the truth in the fact, but he also said there's not a whole lot to explain. It's like, yeah, of course, we're running a little bit of different style, but it's not a complete overhaul of the offense. Some players are just comfortable at home in their own city, in their own beds. And they're like, he goes, I can't say that's definitively anything what it is, and sometimes these things just make sense. It's not like we're changing the entire offense for him to be on the road. So I say all that to say, like, you know, it might just be narrative of Russell Wilson being – maybe it's just something about San Francisco he doesn't like.
It could be
maybe that. Maybe it's the field.
It could be that. It also could be that San Francisco's had really good defenses, You know, and you play a division opponent on the road in a hostile environment like that against a good defense, you're going to have struggles. So, yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into it. But, yeah, it's not just that. It's just the Seattle offense is, like I said, Jekyll and Hyde, and you have to kind of factor in that they could just, you know, put up a dud like they did last week.
Like how I turned a San Francisco or a Derek Carr question into a Russell Wilson question. We've already won, actually not even a full question, one third of a question in, and we've already blown up. No shit.
We don't have to answer this now, though, right? Because we just kind of did.
Yeah. This question, the second part of it, I got to phrase it a little bit differently because his part was saying Peyton Barber is going to get the start again. Gruden seems to like him. 20 plus touches. How high can we put him? I got to phrase it a little bit differently because he's right. And you edited my column this week, so you know that I called Peyton Barber and Kenyon Drake sleepers, quote unquote, as in you could possibly start both this week if needed. So let's say Peyton Barber on his own, Funston, and then if not, your boy Josh Jacobs potentially, if Josh Jacobs is back. So basically, where do you rank Barber and where do you rank Jacobs depending on if Jacobs plays or not?
Yeah, I would rank Jacobs 20. I would rank Peyton Barber about 25 or 26, maybe a little bit lower. Actually, even maybe possibly down to like the 28 range. And I say shame on you, Miami, for giving up that kind of production to Peyton Barber last week. So, I mean, am I going to follow the idea of him getting another 23 carries and over 100 yards and a touchdown? No, I'm going to kind of be more like, well, if he plays again, it's more likely to be like a 70 yarder, maybe gets into the end zone. The touchdown 70. Feels. Yeah,
I'm ready for 19 for 31.
Like, I totally hear you. I get that as well. That's why I don't just plug and play, Barber into where I had Jacobs rankings.
All right. Well, then how far up your rankings are we going? Henry Ruggs. The breakout is here. It's finally Henry Ruggs season after everybody hated him last year. I'm so glad I stuck with Henry Ruggs. All that being said, Funston, I'm not putting inside my top 30 yet just because Bryan Edwards, Darren Waller, and then the biggest factor is their version of Cole Beasley. Hunter Renfrow is just the stable presence.
Right, exactly. I have him in my mid-40s right now, and maybe that's a little bit too low. I don't have him as a wide receiver three, but I'm curious to hear you decide, like, you know, I think we both agree that Bryan Edwards is kind of like the last guy. But, you know, I think there'll be plenty of weeks where Edwards will be higher than Ruggs. I feel like Renfrow is the safest guy to finish second among this trio every week, you know, like, or to be right there.
So third on the team, always behind Waller and a receiver. Yeah, I'm with that. The thing is Edwards is getting a little bit more work than Renfrow is. Snaps and routes and stuff, like, it just doesn't seem that way because Derek Carr doesn't look at him until the fourth quarter. It's right. Almost over.
Exactly. So,
all right.
Yeah, go ahead. Where do you have?
I have him in the 40s.
Okay.
Because of that is just the fact that, you know, it could be Renfrow, it could be Ruggs, could be Edwards, and then I kind of feel like the good thing about it is Ruggs' floor is better than Edwards, but Edwards, honestly, admittedly, ceiling feels higher than Ruggs does.
Yeah, and I'm noticing he's gotten a carry each of the last 2 weeks too. Ruggs has, and just make mental notes. That's always a tiebreaker for me. The potential for the guy to get some use on like a reverse or something like that just adds a little cherry on top.
All right. Well, I'm reading his second question verbatim because there's no other way. I mean, no matter how many ways I work this, I can't because it's coming from Nando. It says, first ranking I went and looked for was Colin Johnson, wide receiver 72, Jakey. So...
What is
this is the thing? He texts me sometimes just Jakey, and that's the entire text. I have no idea what he's alluding to. Like, what is it, good? Is it bad? Like, a question? I have no idea. So, you interpret this, Funston, because I have no idea where he's going with this.
I just noticed he has a weird fascination with Giants, like, deep depth guys. Like, he owns a bunch of like Austin Mack rookie cards. He thought that was going to be a thing, right? It was Austin Mack,
John,
right?
Ross now,
John Ross, like. Yeah, he's. Yeah, where is Colin Johnson in your rankings, Jake?
So look, I'll go with this first. And the Colin Johnson is, we talked. I think, didn't we talk about this on Monday? I do 8 billion shows, so I don't remember who I talked about with what anymore.
It's Colin Johnson doesn't go in my permanent memory banks. It goes in, you know, in the in and out part. Like, it's. I just, yeah, it's
you're
it's not
that old to start doing that yet. You can't be kicking.
I do have to draw the line somewhere. I can't keep Colin Johnson in my banks.
I like how you had the printed 2021 schedule like right over your right shoulder.
Oh, you can see that. This is great. Yeah. I can look at any team and look at any week. It's yeah. See, there you go. That it's way, like, I don't have to commit it to
Woody
memory.
Page over here, check the schedule. The Colin Johnson situation is this, is what I was saying is Colin Johnson fits Darius Slayton and Kadarius Toney fits Sterling Shepard's role. Those roles are definitively, there's no debate there. Those are the roles. The reason I think he's going with the Colin Johnson thing is the same thing I said about this in the waiver column, which he actually edited, maybe that's why he's on this, is that it's clearly a Nando guy. Yes, that is correct, DVR, that Colin Johnson is. But what I said is where two wide receivers, you would see Shepard because he's better than Slayton. He's on the field and can play outside. Kadarius Toney is not going to play outside. Kadarius Toney is going to be out there for three wide and in the slot. So if it's two wide, it's Colin Johnson. And I think that's the thing, is I have Colin Johnson over Kadarius Toney, and maybe that's too low if Shepard and Slayton are both out.
Right. And that's, this has been a, this is a tougher week to rank, I think, than any of them, because I feel like there's a bunch of legit 50-50 guys. Whereas in previous weeks, the bigger names were either clearly out or clearly to play sooner. I'm going to go Marvin Jones.
I'll slip in two questions here real quickly for you. Marvin Jones or Robbie Anderson from Mustard Bus?
Yeah, I've equated this to, like, you know, the guy who has the girlfriend and everybody doesn't like her, and then they're all happy when he breaks up with her and goes on and has, like, this better girl that's for her and for him, and then... But then they break up and he goes back to his old girlfriend. That's kind of where we're at, and everybody's bummed. It's back to the old relationship with Sam Darnold that nobody liked. You know, we all like that Teddy Bridgewater relationship, but Yeah, I don't know. I need to see, you know, what we loved about Robbie Anderson was the way he was used last year, which is not the way he's being used this year. And DJ Moore is back to being what Robbie Anderson was last year. So until we see it different, I'm not going to be ranking Robbie Anderson on the expectation that that's going to change.
Well, also, volume is king, and for all intents and purposes, Robbie is getting none.
Right.
He's a plebe.
Totally.
Go with that one. This is a ranking show, but I do want to get this one in here from Aussie Oracle. Drop Darnell Mooney for Rashad Bateman or Josh Gordon. There you go. There you go, DVR. I want to talk about this for two reasons, because, yes, it's a ranking show, and this has nothing to do with it. It's more so, we already covered Josh Gordon. Go back and watch the waiver show. Josh Gordon, if you're going to pick him up, just trade him. Like, there's no guarantee he even plays in the next 4 weeks. We just, name value. It's the Bateman one. And I want to see where you lie on this, Funston, because I love Bateman talent. If you said pecking order, talent of Ravens wide receivers, if everybody is who we think they are, Bateman's number one. Here's my issue. Barely any preseason. He's coming in behind. He's coming in behind Brown and Watkins, who's still out there and healthy. He needs to get rapport. He needs to get to game speed. He needs to get to NFL speed because he's still a rookie. I do not understand why people are going so bananas over Bateman, and I'm not dropping Mooney as bad as things have been for the Bears. I would not drop Rondell Moore, who's fourth on their depth chart at wide receiver, for Bateman. If nothing else, I think he falls into the Gordon conversation of pick him up and immediately trade him, because people seem to be going nuts for Bateman, and I don't think we see much from him for a while.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, I think people are picking him up without even thinking about context and all that context that you just said. And you know, one of my biggest disappointments in this last draft was hearing the Bateman's name called for the Ravens, you know, yeah. Because even if he is the number one, like, how long have you been able to, like, week in and week out, rely on the number one receiver for the Ravens? And, you know, it's been better this year. They talked a lot about how they wanted to really involve the wide receivers more, and it's been better. Greg Roman has a terrible track record of it, though. And even though it's better, it's still not great. And like you said, he's going to have to work his way over two veterans that aren't, like, you know, just, I mean, they're actually talented. Sammy Watkins and Hollywood Brown have a lot of talent. So it's not like, It's just like a clear talent discrepancy here either.
Funston, he dropped those two touchdowns. They're obviously going to bench him. He's done. He's over.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. So second ranking Nando went to and looked for was Nick Westbrook. I found out how to pronounce the last part. I found it. Do you know how to pronounce the last part?
Akinny?
Akina.
Akina. Okay. It's funny. I heard the announcer say his name on air when he scored the touchdown last week.
It actually, I know what you're talking about. It almost sounded like he said Kenny. It almost sounded like he said E. Kenny or something like that.
Yeah, like Akinny or something like that. Yeah.
It's Akina. So keen, big letters, the pronunciation part, and then again. So it's Akina.
Akina.
So anyway.
Is that Hawaiian?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't
dig that deep. I didn't look for root of origin when it came to his name.
Can you use it in a sentence?
So, yeah, I looked for Nick Westbrook Akina. So both Johnson and Akina. Is he flex worthy? And I think this is assuming that Julio Jones is not playing either. And this is, you know what? I'll answer this question first, Funston. This is where I'm going. I actually like Akina if Julio Jones is out there. I don't. If Julio Jones isn't, because this falls into the Travis Fulgham situation of last year. If he's the number one and getting the number one treatment from and granted, it's a great matchup, so it's not like it's that scary of a defense. But even so, maybe we go Chester Rogers if it's Akina and Chester Rogers. Like, I don't feel good about Akina unless Julio Jones is out there.
Yeah, is Josh Reynolds going to play? I had read that he was trending towards.
I mean, that's also possible, too. Don't forget that, he could be out there as well.
See, and then I just don't know, you know, who ends up reaping the benefits of all those absences. And
then it's only if you're in a 14-team.
I just start thinking, well, it's going to be 35 Derrick Henry carries anyways. And, you know, and then I start thinking, well, if I'm ranking these two guys similar, Akina and, you know, I don't know, somebody else that's out there, I'm like, well, I probably have a more known quantity that I'm going to go with than a guy that's complete crapshoot that could end up giving me one catch for 7 yards or something, you know. So I'm probably going to go with the devil I know over the devil I don't know.
Okay. This is interesting because I don't even know where to go because I haven't finished reading this question. Mostly because he forgot the W in Edwards-Helaire. But so Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Najee Harris are the same kind of frustrating bucket. All right. So I don't even know where this one's going. Clyde Edwards-Helaire starting running back on a high-powered offense with no real threat, and he can basically fumble and not get benched. And yet he can't really be relied on for a huge game every week. On the flip side, Najee Harris is playing every snap, but they're stacking the box so hard and hitting him behind the line of scrimmage. How much of your ranking for both of these guys is based on potential and not what is actually happening? Good paragraph. So, wow. Yeah. By the way, do you know what Najee Harris is? I looked this up the other day I forget what I was looking up. But do you know what Najee Harris's yards before contact is? Do you want to take a guess? I'll give you a range. League average is around 0.9 to 1 yards. Some of the higher end guys are 1.6, 1.7. There's guys like, I think Alvin Kamara is all the way up at 1.8 or stuff like that. So now do you want to take your guess on Najee Harris?
0.7?
Put a zero in front of it. Whoa. 0.06. He's not getting even a tenth of a yard before he gets
insane.
Hit.
But who cares? He's coming off a game. He had 19 targets. That's the difference between him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? It's like he's massively involved in both sides, you know, the rushing and the receiving, where Helaire is not. And, I mean, Harris had 19 targets. There's no other reason you'll need the rest of the year to start him is that. And, you know, coming off a game, he had 5 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown the week before. He's not getting anything done rushing. But he's right in Ben Roethlisberger's wheelhouse at this point in his career in terms of the passing game. You know,
that's like because Ben Roethlisberger's wheelhouse is, I don't even know how to call it a house. It's like a bathroom.
Exactly. it's more, it's like a tiny house. So that's his wheelhouse
at
this point.
It's a shack. It's at best. I don't even know. Like if anything past 5 yards. So what about Edwards-Helaire? Did you feel good about last week or are you on the sell high? That was a really good matchup. Get out while you can.
Yeah. Sell high. Really good matchup. Okay. Get out while you can. I think you
where do
even
you
said the same
Edwards-Helaire
thing. I think
week.
Even before last week, you were saying if he has a good week this week,
yeah, I actually
trading.
Said this is the game for him to get good and then immediately trade. So where do you have Edwards-Helaire? Because I have him RB16 and I don't even love it. And that's only because Miles Sanders and the Eagles have stopped using him again, especially in the passing game. James Robinson, because I don't trust Urban Meyer. Kareem Hunt, only because he's the second half of a timeshare. Like that's I don't even love Edwards-Helaire at 16.
Yeah, I go Miles Sanders 15, Helaire 16, Montgomery. I'm in the same rank as you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Okay. How about this question? In typical Nando fashion, this is Nando being subtweeting ornery with this question. He is, why is Chuba Hubbard only at 21? That's his question. He caught a lot of passes out of the backfield! !
Well, first of all, I think people are discounting Royce Freeman's involvement. This is like if Royce Freeman was there last year, Mike Davis would not have been so crazily involved. I think they would have ran a little bit more of a combo backfield. You could make Chuba got targeted a lot. He actually has a decent history of drops and not being great in the passing game. And Royce Freeman, if we remember, kind of evolved into the passing down back for Denver. He had a season in which he had over 40 catches. So I think, you know, where there's going to be maybe like a 65-35 split, something like that. I just think we're not paying enough attention to Royce Freeman.
Okay. I'm with you on that. And also, this is, hey, look, Hubbard's still a rookie. And I think the bigger concern that we've seen from a lot of rookies, this is Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon, one of the factors that was keeping him off the field. But what do we talk about every year? I say we, as in you've said it, Fonsted, like all of us in the community, NFL analysts, rookies transitioning from college to the NFL, one of the bigger parts that come into play is pass protection. And it's not just, you can have somebody who's a good pass blocker, but still struggle in pass protection because you have to know your assignments. And it's also transitioning to potential different offense. And one of the things with like Trey Sermon ran a lot in an offense that doesn't have a quarterback under center. So understanding those assignments and when, hey, you know what, you might be on the right and your first assignment might be look right, but you need to be able to quickly move left just in case that's where the blitz is coming from. Like these, I'm saying this not to go into a deep dive because you can look further into it, but this is something that takes into account why rookies are often not on the field more than we want them to be because of that. And this is a big factor. You can be, like I said, you could freaking stack up linebackers, but still be in the wrong spot and then not, you know, not be on the field because of it.
No, I think that's a great point. But also made me recall, do you remember Maurice Jones-Drew blowing up Sean Merriman? That's one of my all-time favorite
things. I have forgotten about it for years until you just said that, though.
Yes, it just got me thinking about great, you know, great actual pass blocking. But, you know,
I remember Tyson Williams getting blown up at the beginning of the week, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. All right. So, I missed this one. Corey Davis, 36. Cordarrelle Patterson at 38. If you're looking at wide receivers, Cordarrelle Patterson actually in a similar range on my ranks if you look at running back because he's at both positions depending on where you want to put him, though. Here's Nando's question, though, is who do you have more faith in, Corey Davis or Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah, I guess faith. Faith that they're going to continue to use Cordarrelle Patterson the way that he has and that he can continue to get like that 60, 70 yards and score a touchdown every once in a while. I kind of have more faith in that. Like, who has more upside in any given week? We've already actually seen it is Corey Davis. And if the matchup right. allows for Zach Wilson to throw the ball with some time, which I think this week it does, and I actually would probably lean a little bit to Corey Davis this week, but it's close because Cordero's matchup's actually not bad either. So, but I think just, yeah, in a vacuum, if Zach Wilson has time to throw, I want Corey Davis.
Yeah, the interesting thing was I thought it'd be higher. After the 10 targets for Corey Davis last week, he's still only at 21% of the team's target share. I thought it'd be higher, especially what happened in the preseason. I mean, the preseason was like 60%, and obviously we weren't expecting that. But good old the volume king, Brandon Cooks, is up at 37%, just to give you an idea. Are you?
Let's talk about the Jets for a second. Like I want to get a Michael Carter, riff in here because I'm feeling Michael Carter this week. Where are you at on him?
I am feeling Michael Carter all the time, but I'm still.
You're always tamping it down, trying to temper the enthusiasm.
I'm still above most people. Let's see if I'm above you. I have him at 32, and that's before the Thursday update, by the way. The Thursday, for everybody out there, before you go.
I'm at 32.
You're at 32. Oh, you're at 32?
Yeah. I have to move him to 31. I need to be the highest on him.
Oh, is that what we're going to do? We're going to keep going back and forth until, like, is this the reverse name
right.
your tune?
We're just trying to position for the victory lap. Who gets to take it?
Who gets to go further up? I am updating. If you're listening to this Thursday morning, I am going to update this afternoon like I always do, waiting for the final injury reports. T. Higgins was still in there. I didn't update from last night. I was working on the APA and all that type of stuff, which go check that out, the adjusted points allowed. But anyway, back to this. And then I'm going to try to slide in the Beller questions here after this one because Nando didn't put those in here. But so be ready for that, Funston. So number seven on his list, Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is number seven in the tight end ranks. Is he a good trade target for you, Funston?
Oh, I mean, everything needs to be put in context. I mean, I would try. I'd be interested. I don't think that Atlanta's going to be satisfied with how the first 3 weeks have gone with their usage of him. You know, it's kind of like the whole at some point, teams are going to want to show the value in the pick that they made. It's just like why we kept pushing Henry Ruggs. Don't give up on him because John Gruden's got to save face on that pick, you know, and like I think Atlanta needs to show that this is the reason why we got this guy. So I don't think they'll stop trying to figure out how to get him untracked. But the bigger issue right now is that offensive line is so bad. And, you know, there's I don't know if it's Arthur Smith's new offense and just kind of the growing pains that come with that as well. But it's not just a Kyle Pitts problem. It's a Calvin Ridley problem. It's a Matt Ryan problem. It's an everybody problem except for apparently Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Josh Kendall yesterday, the Falcons writer, and he was asking me from the fantasy perspective. He's like, hey, are fantasy people annoyed and ticked off with Arthur Smith? Because Arthur Smith made a comment that people didn't like him with Tennessee because he spreads the ball around too much, and it really came down from the fact that
cracked me up. I talked to him as well. It's like, Tennessee didn't spread the ball around. It was
no, and that's what I said. If anything, Tennessee didn't have options.
Right.
And I said, is the biggest thing that we have from Arthur Smith is not people being annoyed with him with the Falcons, is that people were complaining that the Titans went away from running play action in week one. They came back in week two, but it was kind of a mixed bag. In week three, it's just the fact that like people were more saying, we need Arthur Smith's play action back. And it's not so much that Arthur Smith is killing the Falcons offense. It's the fact that the offensive line and what Matt Ryan is at this point of his career is killing that offense. And if you look at teams and what they're doing, they're bringing safeties over top of Calvin Ridley, and his air yards aren't even 10 per target. It's like 8 point something, which is going to kill Calvin Ridley because he's never been huge after the catch if you look at his career so far. And then they're saying, well, we're going to take the second option and mostly double team Kyle Pitts. Now, granted, you're taking four defenders for two guys, but who cares when you're leaving a messy backfield that's kind of like, okay, it's fine, but let's talk about real talent. And then Zacchaeus and Gage and whoever might else be, that's what they're doing. Defenses are smart. If you watch what the Giants did last week, they did so much to try and stop him that they actually just tackled Pitts in the end zone to make sure he didn't get the touchdown, because they're like, you know what? Screw that. You still might not get the touchdown on all three downs from the one.
Right. I've called them the NFC's version of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that's kind of the same thing. Old quarterback, not being able to throw downfield, bad offensive line.
Just don't have Najee Harris.
It's not just
the wide receivers.
Yeah, the point is, it's just not a Kyle Pitts problem. There's more things that need to be fixed there.
So buy low on a 1 to 10. How aggressive would you be? Let's phrase it that way.
5, 6, kind of in the middle. Like I'm not.
I'm going 7, 8.
Okay. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. It's because it's still a wasteland after the first 6 tight ends or so. And so
I'm still also trying to treat him as a wide receiver / tight end also.
Right.
And especially they've been using him as such.
I mean, where does he rank in targets at tight end? It's got to be pretty high. He's still getting targets.
I don't think it's top 5 would be my guess.
I'm looking
it's
right
not.
Now. He's tied 8. For 7th.
Almost.
But he's tied with Mark Andrews and Noah Fant. So it's kind of, you know, he's right where he needs to be.
He's one in front of Conklin and Jared Cook and Jonnu Smith. And that just tells you that things are going. 17 targets through 3 games. Actually, 17 is not bad for a tight end. So the Beller question, since he's not here, give me an RB3.
Oh, God.
I prepped you like 5 minutes ago. You knew it was coming.
Give me an RB3.
I paused. Which way do you want me to go? Do you want an RB3 you have to start or RB3 you want to sit? I'll even let you take the direction you want to take.
I will go with the RB3 I want to start.
Okay.
And it's being recency biased all the way, but it's Zach Moss. Because he's been getting touchdowns, because his usage is up there, and I'm fine if Devin Singletary and Zach Moss want to split 24 or 25 carries right down the middle every week, that's fine. But if Zach Moss is a guy that's going to be used around the goal line in a game against Houston, which they could be in the red zone an awful lot, like, I'll take Zach Moss's upside as an RB3.
And now it's a Devin Singletary week. Thanks a lot, Fonston.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's true.
So I'll go the opposite direction. I'll give an RB3 that I want to sit. How about that? He is inside my top 30, barely. He's 29. I don't want to. I want to sit him if I can. I want to sit Damien Harris if I can. And I like Damien Harris. And I like Damien Harris, especially if he goes belly up against, and this is why I want to sit him, the Buccaneers run defense, is that buy low after this week. He got game scripted last week, which I don't expect most games to happen for the Patriots. But if it's going to happen again, it's going to happen against the Buccaneers when Tom Brady throws 2 touchdowns in 67, or wait, he needs 68 in the first quarter. So 73 yards in the first quarter and just goes ham on his Patriots. And Antonio Brown might have 13 catches for 175 yards because he wants to do Antonio Brown at the same time, because Tom Brady's that kind of guy.
Yeah, bet on the Gronk anytime touchdown for sure.
That one as well. Yeah. It's actually really good odds for the first. Somebody was telling me it's the line to catch the pass when he breaks the yards. Right, I think it was like plus 1,400 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah. I feel like Gronk and Brady can just decide when they want to, you know, hook up. It's like,
and that's what the point was. I think it was Ratcliffe who said that to me. That's the point. Is like, if Brady's like, hey, I want to break it on this play, like
it'll happen.
I'm going to do it with Gronk. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do it with my boy. All right, let's get back to Nando's questions. Allen Robinson, wide receiver 27. This is actually a tough situation here. Where's that rank go for Foles versus, I know what he meant to say, but Foles versus Fields? He didn't say that. Freaking Nando. See, there you go. Freaking Nando. You know what? I wore the Scream shirt. It's actually, if anybody's watched Rick and Morty, it's Mr. Meeseeks as the Scream painting. There you go. This is appropriate for trying to read his rundown. Thank you, Hero Nando.
Or to try to figure out the Bears offense, or, you know, it's, ugh.
Allen
Robinson's guy that I just rank, like, as a very back end wide receiver 2, early wide receiver 3 this week, that I don't want to rank that high, but I have to give him at least that.
If it's Fields, you know, if it's Andy Dalton, I actually want him back as a top 20 wide receiver. I hate to say it, but I feel better if it's Dalton at quarterback.
Yeah, but what if it's Andy Dalton who's not 100%? Like,
it's still better than what Nagy,
well, no doubt.
What he's giving Fields to do, I'd still take Andy Dalton. Although, Let's do this. You know, we don't do this on the show because I don't get to run things, but I'm not going to do the full blown because everybody not might know what it's coming from on this show, but when I don't know where to rank somebody versus other people, I make a list. There's the simple version. I'll scream it on my other show, but not on this one. So I have him at 27 right now, as Nando said. That's with Andy Dalton. Okay. So that's pretty low.
I ranked him 25, yeah, assuming it would not be
Andy
Justin.
Dalton.
Well, I assumed it.
Oh, it would be Justin Fields.
It wouldn't be Justin Fields. Was my
okay
assumption.
It'd be Dalton or Foles.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's say it's Dalton or Foles. He actually does kind of folds at quarterback. So, Allen Robinson or Odell Beckham?
I have Odell Beckham at 23, so I am going Odell Beckham.
All right, agree with you there. How about Allen Robinson or another potential buy low, Robert Woods?
So right now I have Robert Woods at 26 and Robinson at 25. So I'm right there, and I could vacillate about that one a little bit probably and go back and forth.
I want to save one of these because we're going to talk about him even if Nando doesn't have him in the rundown. Allen Robinson or Marv Jones? We talked about him before.
Yeah, I'm just a couple higher on Allen Robinson. Marvin Jones down at 28.
Then Marvin Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. Allen Robinson or the Bees, Cole Beasley?
The Bees, I have 31. Might not be enough. I have Julio Jones ranked, though, and I also have Deontay Johnson ranked. So
where do you have Julio Jones?
I have him at 30, but that's kind of like
most. I have him at 24.
Yeah, most of the time I rank like if they're going to play. This one I kind of hedged a little bit that maybe he wasn't.
I put him at 24. He's going to play, but not. But baking in the risk, like DeAndre Hopkins last week when I had DeAndre Hopkins at like 15.
Right.
And that's why I have Julio Jones at 24. Like if I knew Julio Jones was 100%, I would say 12 or 13. Thank you, David Funkhauser. Yes, for everybody that doesn't know, don't tell YouTube. But if you just comment and help us out, that's like more free shows for you guys. The algorithm just, if you comment, you could just be like, this is a comment. It helps. Kudos to Pat Mayo for always figuring out a way to break the system.
Exactly.
So wait, Fustin, do you know what we just did when we were trying to figure out where Allen Robinson fits? Do you know what we're doing? We made a list. I did it anyway.
This is all beyond me. This is stuff that I don't have a history of doing.
Chris
with
Jericho. Oh, can I reach Chris Jericho? I think. Where did I put Chris Jericho? That's why I wore the shirt the one time. I'm looking behind me for everybody who doesn't know why I'm leaning over. Did I fall? Chris Jericho's missing. I'm gonna find a Chris Jericho. WWE. We made a list. All right. So Cooper Kupp. Nando.
Why is he
Cooper
not?
Kupp's number three in my ranks? What does he have to do to be number one? You know what he has to do to be number one? I'll answer this question. He has to murder Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I think number three is about like maybe one more week, but let's be honest. Let's put it this way. If somebody, you're the Cooper Kupp manager, Funston, and I come to you and I say, here's Justin Jefferson. Do you accept trade?
That's close. I mean, I'm probably going Justin Jefferson still. It's close, though. I mean, I have moved my view of Cup up. I mean, clearly.
If I sent you Stephon Diggs, do you hit accept?
If I get Stephon Diggs, I'm hitting accept, yes.
Okay, if I sent you Tyreek Hill,
yeah,
would you hit accept?
Yep, exactly. If you sent me
Okay,
Devontae
so basically
Adams,
you're saying three is too high.
Well, I mean, I think you can look at a group of about eight receivers and you can start mixing and matching them based upon matchup for the week. Like, we don't say the matchups are going to sway things dramatically, but when you're splitting hairs on receivers, that's how you decide.
Okay. I do want to get this question in here. It's the very first one that just came in, DVR. Is there a reason Cooks is not inside your top 20? Yes, the Volume King is not inside the top 20 this week. Why is the Volume King not inside the top 20? Who is the Volume King facing this week, Fonston?
The Bills. The Bills.
And the Bills have a potential shutdown
Tredavious.
Corners and potential shadow potential corner. Like, I love Cooks. Everybody knows this. And I think that's why we're getting the question is because I'm the Cooks. We are the Cooks show, but I'm the Cooks guy. I gave him the Volume King moniker and said the disrespect for the fact that he's been top 15 every single year outside of being hurt for the past five of his six career. He's played 6 years, right? It feels like,
at
I think
least,
everybody feels like he's played longer.
I think
that's the thing. It's like everybody thinks it's longer than that. Well, I think it's only six.
Saints,
are you gonna check?
Well, he was a 1,000-yarder with the Saints, the Patriots, and the Rams, or the Texans.
It is longer. One, two, three, seven.
Yeah, I mean, he's played for four different teams.
So one, two, three, four, five, six. So six of the last 7 years, he was top 15. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I have him at 22 this week. I have him knocking on the top 20 door.
But this is worrisome. This is where I have a 21. I mean, he missed it by one.
Right.
But that's the thing. Like, you got to factor in sometimes, even being the Volume King, this could be a week where it's still 10 targets only turns into 3 for 25.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I you do feel good about them having to throw the ball from about the middle of the first quarter on.
All right, so I'm seeing he doesn't have this other person in the rundown, so let's get to it. He is one of my sleepers this week, and I said, Fonston, it's the second chance now this season you've had to buy low on Cortland Sutton, and it might be your last. I have Cortland Sutton one spot behind Brandon Cooks going against Baltimore, who just cannot stop the pass, especially if you're 15-plus yards downfield. Is this Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Teddy Bridgewater time this week, and where do you have him ranked?
Cortland Sutton, I have one spot ahead of Brandon Cooks. I have him at 21. I have Cooks at 22. So, yeah, I'm with you on Cortland Sutton. Yeah, Tim Patrick's going to steal the thunder some weeks. I think the point is that Teddy's throwing the ball downfield. And, you know, and as you mentioned, this matchup's good. You know, it might not be obvious, but it's been a good matchup this year for receivers. And with Teddy, you know, and I think people look at Teddy Bridgewater still have that, you know, game manager, short to intermediate range, but he is throwing deep balls. And that's, you know, that's going to help Cortland Sutton most weeks.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Question number 10, Curtis Samuel's at 50, obviously assuming he's playing. That's also going to be if he's playing his first game back, but that's not really where the question's going. I don't think anybody's trying to start Curtis Samuel in this first
game.
Crazy.
I have Curtis Samuel at 50. It must be where you put the guy that you just don't know what's going to happen, but you respect the talent, and you are like,
or you stole my projections. That's it. So he says, what are we expecting in offense that wasted him for years before his breakout with Matt Rhule? What's the ceiling? Because his question is, 50 feels like this is the lowest he's ever going to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the difference here is, yeah, when he was with Ron Rivera, he wasn't maximized like he was with Matt Rhule last year. But he was also in an offense, if I remember right, that he wasn't. Was he the number two very often?
And I'm sorry, I'm laughing at DVR's question for the people watching.
I know, I was going to bring it up earlier. I was going to say, will you explain that you're not actually laughing at me? And I know that DVR's doing stuff behind the scenes here to make you laugh, but... yeah, like he clearly is an obvious need for this team as a wide receiver too. I'm trying to remember who the foils were at wide receiver in Carolina when he was there besides DJ Moore, but
you know, Robbie Anderson was just is alternating between those three.
But who was it before Robbie Anderson? Because Robbie Anderson came there last year. Who was it?
Oh, but it was just the fact that I don't think Curtis Samuel was seeing consistent snaps at that point.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember who the Moore kind of steady was.
All right, so this is the lowest you have for Curtis Samuel the entire year, essentially.
Yeah, I think so. Unless he goes out and he does absolutely nothing, you know, and then it's, well, okay, maybe I'll keep him at 50 and wait on this one. 50 says, you know, wait and see. It says, don't play him this week. Watch and see how it plays out.
Greg Olsen, yeah. Aussie Oracle. Greg Olsen was still a thing at that time.
Greg Olsen was a thing.
At a tight end position.
Maybe that was what I was kind of thinking about.
Okay, so next question is Laviska Shenault and Marquez Callaway, 58 and 59. Interesting to pair them. I didn't really pair them on purposely, but he's saying interesting to pair them because they're two of the bigger busts, quote-unquote, this year. You know I was down on Shenault, but I don't think I was ever going to rank Shenault down in the 50s. If you had to choose, this is the question, though. If you had to choose one rest of season, Funston, Shenault or Callaway?
I'm going to go with Shenault. You know, Callaway hasn't really been that great in... We haven't had Tre'Quan Smith in the lineup, and we haven't had Michael Thomas in the lineup. You know, at some point, both those guys are steady weekly, you know, inserts into that lineup.
And let's be clear. Nobody would be trying to pick Callaway back up after dropping him if that pass had been rightfully intercepted instead of going to Callaway.
I was just bringing it up the other day. Like, Jameis Winston, every game has two or three passes that are the 30 interception Jameis that, you know, get coaches fired. He's not completely gone away just because, you know, he spent a year behind Drew Brees and in Sean Payton's system. There's still that Jameis lurking out there. He got lucky with that Callaway touchdown because that was a complete blind, eyes closed, throwing into the end zone, hoping for the best, and it worked out. But, yeah, and there'll be weeks where New Orleans just won't throw the ball. You know, I mean, I don't think we can say that about Jacksonville. Jacksonville's throwing a ton because they have to, and I don't think that's going to change. So, yeah, give me Shenault for the long haul.
All right, let me rephrase the Beller question in a form of it, but a little bit different way at wide receiver. A wide receiver 3 or deeper that you want to start this week?
Brandon Ayuk against that.
You're not allowed to say Brandon Ayuk for two reasons. One is that's what I was going to say, and then two, you're the Debo Samuel guy, so you're not allowed to say it.
No, but I was a Debo Samuel in like the don't disrespect Debo and say that Brandon Ayuk is clearly the higher draft capital guy. It's I was a Debo guy in that respect. I do love Debo. It's true. But you can't help but ignore that Brandon Ayuk played 60 snaps last week, which was 3 fewer than Debo, and got, what, 6 targets? He's starting to come online is what I'm saying, and he's got the Seahawks this week.
He put the AOL disc in? And
the buffering was going for a while, but we're starting to see it. We're actually moving on the internet now. We're online. Yeah, it's the Seahawks, man. Maybe I'm jaded, but God, the Seahawks defense is awful right now. I mean, Kirk Cousins could have thrown for as many yards as he wanted to last week. I mean, they've got this soft zone bubble defense. Everything underneath is open. Like, if Ayuk's on the field, I want a piece of him this week because I think he's going to have his best game yet.
Okay. I do want to get to his lightning round because those are always fun. The one that I want to start is Jaylen Waddle. The only one I trust with Brissett, the volume. Again, I'm chasing volume. And it's also, I'm chasing a matchup where you do more damage with tight ends and over the middle of the field and somebody like Waddle. So that's what I'm really looking for here. Is I think this is like an easy one if he's in the 40s, for which is a lot of people. But, you know, Indianapolis, that's where you can kind of beat them up and have been beaten up this year. So Jalen Waddle for me, lightning round. This is all right.
He's 40 for me exactly. So,
okay. Yeah. I'm still wide receiver 3+, solidly down in the wide receiver 4 now. I mean, because that's five spots technically. All right. Lightning round. Here we go. We'll keep these to 30 seconds or less. How about that, Funston? Lightning round. Joe Burrow or Ryan Tannehill?
Absolutely, Joe Burrow. Because who do we know that Tannehill has to throw the ball? Like I said, it's 35, maybe even 40 carries for Derrick Henry if they need to go that route. But I don't want Tannehill. I got Burrow a few spots ahead of him.
No, I'm definitely going with Burrow as well. Was efficient last week and looked confident last week. Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold?
Kirk Cousins, because I have Kirk Cousins ranked close to a QB1 range, and I just can't in my head get Sam Darnold there. You know, I don't know. And I also think that this Dallas defense, people are still looking at this Dallas defense like it's last year's Dallas defense. Dan Quinn is actually making this defense look pretty good. And yeah, they gave up
pass rush.
Well, Trevon Diggs is legitimately good. I think he's good.
I was going to say, outside of him, though, it's still lacking. And it's helping because of the pass rush and because of Diggs. And they're actually turning Diggs into, like, J.R. Alexander. And, like, he's been shadowing people, too, on top of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I appreciate it, Ronald. But this is a comment is actually after the show is done in those comments. Like, the live, it's hey, this is YouTube lesson for everybody. If you're trying to create your own content out there, the comments do help in show, but the ones that help more is once the show is posted and the comments that are there static. There you go. There's more little lesson behind the scenes. Dum-dums or Tootsie Roll Pops?
Tootsie Roll Pops. I think this is a slam dunk. I like the flavor choices of Dum Dums, but like you love the reward in the middle of the Tootsie Roll Pop.
I'm going Dum Dums because of the choices, because of all the choices. And Tootsie Roll Pops take a little bit too long. And sometimes you get those ones where, like, I don't know how it's possible, but the middle actually got, like, stale. And you get to the Tootsie Roll stuff, like how is a Tootsie, like, it's encased.
Encased, right. It's like encased
sugar.
In amber, you know, whatever. Do you like the mystery wrap? Do you like when they do that? Because I think they do that for both. I think if Tootsie Roll Pops, you can get
them. No, I want to know my flavor. Because there's a lot of flavors I just despise. And I don't want to put that in my mouth and all of a sudden be like, thank you for that wonderful disgustingness. And now I got to go eat something else. All right. Michael Carter, Jamal Williams.
I think I have Carter one spot ahead of Jamal Williams. It's a coin flip, but I'm in my heart, I'm just going to go with Michael Carter because I, you know, my gut, everything's saying it. So I'm all in on Michael Carter.
Oh, damn it. Thanks, Charlie. Same. This is the first week 4. It took 4 weeks. What actually technically took 3 until I also forgot about waivers this week too. I forgot about flex waivers.
Oh.
I forgot.
You forgot to what put in your claims.
I forgot about my guillotine waivers. I forgot. Oh, Barkley, I was just slapping this. She ran away. I forgot. Look, even I do it. I forgot about waivers. There you go. We all do it. All right. Odell Beckham or Marvin Jones? We actually covered that one. Royce Freeman or James Conner in a PPR? Ha ha.
Give me James Conner. Because Kyler Murray stopped.
Again,
yeah. Kyler Murray stopped taking all the goal line touchdowns and gave a couple to Conner last week. So. That suddenly puts Connor back into consideration.
You ready for this next one?
Do it.
Do it. It might be an appropriate way to phrase this.
Uh-oh. Got me scared.
Win a $1,000 lottery ticket or never have to wipe your poops again for the rest of your life.
That is ingenious. I'm going to go with the latter.
So am I. Like, maybe you said 10,000 now. Okay,
I'm assuming that by saying that, it's just automatically somehow taken care of. Because I'm not
and clean.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be clean. Like,
you could probably buy a bidet for $1,000. So it's basically, you know, what you're doing there.
And, like, you ghost poop. There's, like, nothing there. You don't need
right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh. God, Nando. Will Fuller or Robbie Anderson, half-point PPR?
I guess Robbie Anderson. I don't know.
I was going to say, they're very similar.
They are.
2-3 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. I'll lean Anderson for one more week, just because, again, the quarterback situation a little bit better, slightly there. How about this? This is an interesting one. Hunter Renfrow versus Kenyon Drake in a PPR.
I will go Kenyon Drake because I feel like there's almost the same amount of like target upside for Kenyon Drake, but then he also gets some carries. So give me two ways to score.
Okay. How many NFL jerseys do you think your co-host owns? I'm going to say you have only like two.
I have two.
Yeah. Ah, I already win. Yeah. There's no way you can defeat.
I have an old Marshawn and I have a Russell Wilson. So
I'd have to go double check my count because I got the two signed ones behind me.
Right.
Actually, one of them's covered up because he's in a.
You gotta have a Fulgham somewhere too, right?
Heineke's technically ODU. No, I don't have a Fulgham, but I have an Odell Beckham Giants and an Odell Beckham Browns. I have
Zach Pascal
Gardner Minshew. No, I have Gardner Minshew because he was Beowulf. Actually, I have the one where it actually says Beowulf and not Gardner Minshew. Eli Manning, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan. I would have to go double check. There might be another one.
But you don't actually wear them, right?
No, I don't. I just end up putting them up behind me as decoration. So I don't know. Do they count if I don't ever wear them?
You'd save a lot more money if you buy actual poster versions of the jerseys.
How about some Yahoo trade market questions? Because these are good. These are kind of like going forward thinking of who would you rather. That's what it basically is. Who would you rather for the rest of the season? And I'm going to start, for everybody out there, I'm starting next week's rank column. This week was ranking Starburst for fun. Next week, we're going to go back to some more things of advice. And one of them I actually have on there, Funston, is rest the season trades. People are like, I'll give you a good comparison. A lot of I've seen lately of people have been saying Tim Patrick or. And it's like, Tim Patrick or, and I'm trying to think of somebody like in this, like Allen Robinson or something like that. I was like, well, rest of season doesn't really work with somebody like Patrick because it's Patrick until Jerry Jeudy gets back. And then if you're doing rest of season, I have to factor in 10 games versus three or four more. Like, so anyway, that being the point here. So any context you want, but most of these are guys playing the rest of the season and playing right now. So would you rather have Allen Robinson or Odell Beckham for the rest of the year?
Jarvis is out for the rest of the year, right?
No.
Okay, when's he coming back?
Undetermined, similar to Jeudy. It's like, could be on the short end of the spectrum, could be the long end of the spectrum.
Well, like, I'm going to go Allen Robinson because it's just been three yuck games, but he's had so many bad quarterbacks. He was good last year with Trubisky. Like, I have a feeling some way, somehow it gets figured out. With Odell, they don't like to throw a ton. Jarvis Landry's coming back. He has his own injury history.
And that's why I slightly lean Robinson, too.
Yeah. There you go.
How about Kenny Golladay or Eli Mitchell?
I will go Elijah Mitchell, I guess.
We didn't talk about him. He wasn't in the rundown. You're starting Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon, are you not?
I am. I ranked him 28. So
28?
Yeah, because I also kind of factored in. He has a shoulder injury that he wasn't healthy enough to play with.
So you're factoring in some injury.
Like the re-aggravation potential of a running back with a shoulder
injury. Why do you hate Elijah Mitchell? I have him 27.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. I can remedy that if that's what I need to do. If I need to move him up one, I can figure out a way to do that.
Two more. You have to leap me two more. The Christian McCaffrey trade market is an interesting one. Christian McCaffrey and Adam Thielen for Evans and Cook. I'm taking the Cook side of it because Cook should be back this week. He was already limited practice yesterday. And I see you thinking about it, but here's where I'm going with this one, and I'm glad that he put this in here, is I actually put this at the top of either the waiver or the ranks column, Funston, and I want to see if you agree with this and part of this trade conversation. So I said, if you're 3-0 and 2-1, you're sitting pretty, go trade for Christian McCaffrey, but don't pay top five. Like, get him at a discount. Get him at, like, low-end RB1. Now, if you're 1-2 and 0-3 and you can't survive, like let's assume Christian McCaffrey's only 3 weeks and you're in a bad shape overall, like maybe your second running back was only Melvin Gordon and you can even get RB1, I say get him out of it. You need the wins, and that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, I'm on the Cooks, and it's Mike Evans. Was that the other guy in the equation?
Yeah, Evans and Cook.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on that. I'd feel better if I had Madison to kind of just lock that backfield up.
What if it was Christian McCaffrey and Adam Thielen for Dalvin Cook and Cortland Sutton?
I honestly don't have that big of a discrepancy between Mike Evans and Cortland Sutton. So
okay,
I'd still do the deal.
How about James Robinson or Cortland Sutton the rest of the year?
I'm actually going to go James Robinson. I actually am starting to think that it's going to be okay for him.
Wait, you're putting some trust in Urban Meyer?
I know. I didn't say that. Put my trust in James Robinson.
I mean, I think you're trusting that they're going to be losing in the second half every single year.
I'm trying to ignore the Urban Meyer factor. I'm just, yeah.
I mean, no. Let's be honest. It's clear. Like, the first half barely touched the ball. But what they were doing, they were in the game and actually leading for a little bit at the very beginning of the game. Second half, like most every single game we expect them to be, trailing and having to play catch up, which is where James Robinson does his work.
Yeah, if the worst thing you have to worry about with James Robinson is if the team actually gets good and competitive, I think you're okay. Like, you're going to be fine.
We got a couple Mike Davises in a row here. Mike Davis or Damian Harris?
This week, I'm going to go Mike Davis. Just barely.
This is trademarked. This is the rest of the season.
Oh, rest of the season. You know, he does. I think he's had 16 touches every week. Like, or is averaging. That's his average. He went into the year and said, you know what? Through 3 weeks, Mike Davis is going to average 16 touches. Okay. That's fine.
That was my argument for Mike Davis.
I ranked him a little bit high, if that's the case. I kind of ranked him with the idea that maybe he would get into the 20s or reach there. But, like, if it's 16, I was still going to probably pick him, you know, RB 20, 21, 22, right in that range. And I think I had him just a little bit higher.
16 gives him 250 plus touches, which is, remember, those are the exact words, 250 plus touches to any running back, even middling. Yep. I'll take him as an RB2.
And this is isn't a Mike Davis problem. It's an Atlanta problem. It's another team like the Bears that have to get some things fixed.
Mike Davis or Antonio Brown?
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis or Jaylen Waddle?
Mike Davis.
All right. Last one, and then I'm getting to the question. It was a defense question, whoever asked it. I am going to answer your question because I want to get out of here on that because it's a defense strategy situation. Both of these are strategies before we get out of here. He actually even says squeezing this in. Marlon Mack probably traded soon. If he lands in the right spot, and there's more to the question, I'm cutting it off there, Funston, because I don't care. I don't care about Marlon Mack. Stop asking about Marlon Mack. And here's why I said it's like, kidding aside, somebody asked this in the waivers, and they said, hey, Marlon Mack was going to get traded. At worst, he's splitting carries wherever he goes, right? I said, no. At best, he's splitting carries wherever he goes. So I understand it because I think here's where I think a lot of people are going with this, Funston. I think a lot of people are seeing what happened with Kenyon Drake that one season. And they're like, oh my God, he could be a league winner. They were down to nobody in that backfield. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe San Francisco, and that's his point. It's like, what if he goes to San Francisco? Maybe San Francisco loses Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon this week, and then Marlon Mack goes there. Like, maybe, best case. What is he, RB 20 to 25, best case? So deep leagues, but I would rather just pick him up and trade him, similar to the Bateman situation.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I just can't ignore that he's coming back from an Achilles injury. Name the running back that's ever had success doing that. There hasn't been. It would be uncharted territory for him to come back and be a significant factor coming off the Achilles. Like,
he wasn't even getting work before they considered trading him.
Right. I know. I'm not holding my breath on Marlon Mack either. I won't be interested unless it's just a slam dunk that he's going to get, you know, regular double digit touches. I just don't know where that is. Where's that happening?
All right. Last one before we get out of here. So somebody asked about the Pittsburgh defense, and they said, would you consider holding the Pittsburgh defense? They're at Green Bay this week. If you look at the rest of their schedule right after that, home against Broncos, not too bad. Then home against the Seahawks, at Browns versus Bears versus Lions. Here's what I say, Funston, see where he takes, like, Steelers, whoever, unless it's a definitive walk away, it doesn't matter, a matchup defense. I'm not ever holding a defense through screaming matchups, but I want to see if you agree with that. And then the part two of it is, would you ever roster a second defense in the fact of, like, hey, let's give you an example. A top streamer this week, like the Bengals was last week, and then you're looking towards next week and saying, oh, I haven't even looked at next week yet. Whoever's facing the Texans next week, you know, streamer, would you ever stash a week ahead streamer so you don't have to chase on waivers with everybody else?
I'm not saying I've never done that, but almost never do I do that. Like, every once in a while, you just hit on a defense that's awesome.
Patriots have Houston next week.
And sometimes you, like, the defense that you love has a bad matchup this week and you want to play a streamer, but the defense you love then has, like, an awesome matchup the following week. And you're like, okay, I gotta get through this week with somebody else, but then I need to have that defense back and then I can sail on. I mean, Denver's been a popular defense that I picked up because of the Giants, the Jets, and who was the other one? The Texans in the first 3 weeks. Like, I was like, it doesn't get much better than that. But at some point, I'm going to be willing to cut Denver. You know, I mean, it's pretty easy to play defense in this dream. It's, you know, it's there's always a good matchup for somebody who's out there.
All right. Well, it's always easy to make sure you're subscribing to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It's not just Mondays and Tuesdays, or Mondays and Thursdays with Fonston and myself. And Beller, when he's back in town, well, he's living it up in Hawaii right now. Is he even awake at this? No, he's probably not even awake at this point with the time difference. But yeah, make sure you're following. Do the, like I said, after the show's over, drop in a comment. Hey, I'll promise you this. What is it? It's Thursday. Thursday by 6 p.m. I'll check to see if there's any questions for Thursday night football before we get in there, but I don't promise anything about Friday or Saturday. Just Thursday at 6 p.m. I'll jump in and see if there's any questions in the comments.
We like our we like our light Fridays.
We like our light Fridays. Well, no, I just like I'm already answering 1100 in the rankings column anyway. But if you're over there, if you're a Athletic subscriber, that's guaranteed. Guaranteed, you get an answer if you ask in the rankings column every single week. I answer all of them. Somehow.
And to be clear, that's Jake's rankings column. It's not mine.
Yes, Jake. Don't go to Funston. I'll be like, screw you guys.
I actually tell people in my rankings column to go to Jake's rankings.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, there
Thanks
you go.
A lot. All right. We'll be back on Monday. No Beller from one more show after this. Well, the other shows as well. But we'll be back on Monday for waivers and a recap of week four. And I just need sleep. Goodbye.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.